My guest at this time is California Republican Congressman Dana Rohrabacher. He represents the Golden State's 46th Congressional District, and he's also a member of the House Foreign Affairs Committee. And Congressman Rohrabacher, who was elected back in 1988, has a strong reputation in Washington and beyond as an ardent anti-communist. And with the passing of two critical figures, on one on each side of this huge fight over the decades, I wanted to get his reaction to the passing of North Korean dictator Kim Jong-il, as well as former Czech president Václav Havel. And Congressman, thank you very much for being with us.
Well, it's very good to be with you and to take a look at what's going on around us and try to search for some meaning.
Well, certainly a lot of people wondering what's next in North Korea. Before we talk about Kim Jong-il's son, who is his apparent successor here, 17 years that he ruled in North Korea following decades by his father, Kim Il-sung. Most accounts seem to think that he was far more unstable than his father, and we all know about the nuclear saber rattling. What do you see as the most significant parts of the Kim Jong-il legacy?
Well, the most significant parts of this institutional dictatorship, this institutional family dictatorship that these folks had going in North Korea, is to be looked at and to understand that the United States helped keep these people in power by being so afraid that there would be any confrontation or conflict with them. We ended up providing, over my objection, I might add, strenuous objection over the years, we ended up providing hundreds of millions of dollars worth of energy, meaning oil, and food that kept this regime alive during its toughest times. We were doing this to buy them off in order to supposedly so they wouldn't have a nuclear program. Yet that was, as we know now, Kim Jong-il and his regime have been providing nuclear capabilities to Pakistan and to Tehran. And so if there's any lesson to be learned, it's just trying to avoid conflict puts people in a bad spot in the long run.
You've been well-known for calling attention to, in North Korea, China, and elsewhere, human rights conditions. What's life been like for the North Korean people over the last 17 years and really longer than that?
Well, we've got it's a very sad, tragic commentary on communism and tyranny. The fact is North Korea has perhaps one of the most vicious and brutal and total dictatorships of any place in the world. And what has been the result? Has it been prosperity? Has it been a decent life for the people of that country that they didn't have to go through all of the things that we have to go through as a democratic country and all our disappointments and all of our joys and the ups and downs with democracy, and as they've had that in South Korea as well? Now, what's happened is you have a country with that once the sun goes down, there's fewer lights visible in that country than just about any other country in the world, and the people are hungry. The children are weaker, and they're smaller. The North Korean people are about 2 to 3 inches shorter than their counterparts in South Korea, and they're the same, of course, ethnic stock of Koreans, and it has everything to do with this tyranny, and it is a communist tyranny, but it was... it just shows you that communism is latched on to by these psychopathic murderers like Kim Jong-il and his father. So this is these are lessons people should take a look and learn from.
Last question on North Korea. Do you get the sense that there's an opportunity, as some do, with the son coming in here, Kim Jong-un, or is this likely to be more of the same?
Well, there is always an opportunity every day to try to reverse bad policies and to replace them with good policies. I hope we've learned not to subsidize dictatorship in order to have short-term peace, because that in the long run, as I say, has had an enormous impact with the Pakistanis and others who have been receiving benefits from North Korea, actually from China through North Korea. And so I'm not crossing my fingers or holding my breath that his son's going to be any better, but it's hard to imagine someone who's who's going to be as weird as Kim Jong-il was, Ben, with that crazy hairdo and his whole mannerism of approaching government.
On the flip side of the fight with communism, of course, was, and it happened right when you came to Congress, the collapse of the Iron Curtain, of course, and leading up to that in various countries, there were courageous leaders from Lech Walesa in Poland to Václav Havel in Czechoslovakia, eventually the Czech Republic. This is someone who was certainly not from the aristocratic class, and ultimately when the wall came down and the Iron Curtain fell, he was the one that folks looked to in the Czech Republic. What will you remember about his efforts to rid his country of communism and what he was able to do once he was the president?
Well, I was very lucky in my life that back in 1968, when there was a major turmoil going on in Czechoslovakia, that I was there in Prague and saw people fighting for their freedom and saw the evil of communism and how what was then the Soviet Union was using this ideological base to repress its people. Same thing as in Korea, where an ideology is used by tyrants and gangsters in order to repress people. Well, we had, we over the years, of course, had the right policy towards the Czechoslovakia as compared to Korea. Because of that, people like Havel, who were heroic individuals, knew that the United States was on their side and that we were not doing anything to try to buy off the regime in Czechoslovakia or to give them subsidies like oil and food, which was what we gave to the Koreans. Instead, we had a hard line with the Soviet Union and a hard line with its satellite powers. That gave people like Havel on the inside the courage to stand up, and eventually, when the moment was right, the courage and the ability to overthrow this corrupt communist regime that actually had smothered the people of Russia and Eastern Europe. So there's a tribute to a policy that was a good policy. We called it the Reagan Doctrine, of supporting people throughout the world who were fighting for freedom and who were struggling against oppression.
And finally, sir, how would you compare the Czechoslovakia of 1988 with the Czech Republic and Slovakia of 2011?
Well, I would say that in 1988, I guess you're referring to the end of the time when... You mean 68 or 88?
I mean, once the fall of the Iron... Between the fall of the Iron Curtain, which Havel helped to happen in Czechoslovakia,
yeah,
to where the country is now, that communism is no longer the ruling power.
Well, I mean, one needs only visit the Czech Republic. Now, I've visited Prague a number of times in the last few years, and one can see that that now you have a country that's vibrant. Here's a country that actually has not been part of the EU and is actually more stable now than you have more stability, and the currency is stronger in the Czech Republic than in Western Europe, where our allies are, and it's a tribute to freedom and people being responsible and for their own government and their own behavior. That the Czech Republic now has a very high standard of living, and you go to that country, and it's filled with people who have smiles on their faces, and it's a beautiful city, especially, as I say, when the lights go out, you can tell a lot about a country. Before, when the lights went out in Prague, it was a dark city under communism at night, just as all of North Korea continues to be a dark country after the sun goes down. Now you go to Prague, and it's lit up, and there are Christmas trees, and there are picture windows, and there are people, and there's music in the air, and people are smiling, and it's vibrant with activity as compared to what it was when I was there back under communism back in 1968, when people were just afraid to talk to anybody, and it was a dark, dark repression that was over that country. So we have two good examples here between Korea and the Czech Republic of what freedom is all about and what America's policy should be, not to try to placate and try to make tyrants happy by giving them subsidies, but by supporting tough policies that give spirit to its people who would overthrow their tyrants.
Well, as you said, sir, two men with very, very different legacies. Thank you, sir, very much for your time today and helping us look back.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
California Congressman Dana Rohrabacher represents his state's 46th congressional district. Longtime member of the House Foreign Affairs Committee, I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily.